on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, as you may know, today is Veterans Day, and we wanted to take some time today to show appreciation to those who've served in our armed forces. And wow, actually, just over the weekend, watched it was actually recorded what I watched, but I got to see the Vice President at the celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States Marines. So lots of things to consider this week when it comes to our nation's military and helping us do that. From Youth for Christ Military, Nick Kamok joins us. Nick, welcome back on to ABQ Connect.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Now, Nick, for those not familiar with just Youth for Christ in general, now many of our listeners obviously familiar, but you never know who's a new listener and maybe new to Christ and new to some of these organizations. If you could let them know the history of Youth for Christ and then, you know, how military entered in.
Yeah. So Youth for Christ actually started back in the 1940s as the men were coming back from World War II. They really gained a heart for the nations and gained a heart for this next generation. So they wanted to make a difference, not just in the kids around them, but all over the world. So a couple of men in Chicago wanted to start this thing called Youth for Christ, which would reach this next generation. It was an amazing couple of years where they just started launching chapters. The very first staff member was actually Billy Graham, who was hired on as our chief evangelist and really launched Youth for Christ into the spotlight. 1960s, they started a program called Campus Life. Campus Life was about doing campus-based ministry with kids in middle schools and high schools. It started out in California and quickly spread across the country. Then you fast forward the clock to 1980, and a couple of U.S. Army chaplains over in Europe were seeing the ministry of Youth for Christ and Young Life and how they were reaching kids, and they said, hey, this is what we want for our kiddos here. Thus, YFC Military was born. We started initially as a partnership with Young Life just to reach military kids wherever they are. And that vision continues to today, where we are engaging kids in what we call authentic Christ-sharing relationships wherever their families serve. So we have staff and volunteers at installations all over the globe that pour into the lives, mentor these kids, and help them navigate the rough waters of the teenage years, especially for military-connected kids.
Yeah, well, I connect so much with this conversation. I was raised as an Air Force brat. Actually, the first memory of Dad is picking him up coming home from Vietnam in the early 70s, and then really traveling the country. I'd say the world, but each career officer is at least when Dad was serving, they were supposed to do an overseas tour, and our choice was London or Anchorage, and he chose Anchorage. So we stayed in the United States, not the continental United States, but, I learned quickly what was referred to as the lower 48. And then after being transferred again in Northern California, you mentioned that some of this ministry in California, I was a Young Life kid, so very connected in a way, and didn't really engage with Youth for Christ, but I'm aware of the ministry, and very quick to support the work being done. And Nick, I appreciate what you're doing, not only for the youth in our nation, but for the military-connected youth. Nick, why is it so important that we reach out to this niche group of kids?
Yeah, I mean, the military brat experience is so unique. I met a kid just a couple weeks ago. He was just your normal middle school kid, but he had never lived in the United States. They had spent time in Europe, in Turkey, in Japan, and for the very first time, he'd set foot on U.S. soil his entire life. And that is just such a unique experience. Kids are struggling in a unique way when it comes to kind of the military connected kids. They have a 26% higher rate of anxiety and depression than they would their otherwise civilian counterparts. They also move three times as much as like a typical American, with between like 6 and 9 moves during their school-aged years. Obviously, that causes a ton of disruption in their lives. They don't feel like they can really put down roots like a normal kid could. And so that's why it's so important that these kids have a sense of community, that no matter where they go, no matter where their parents' service takes them, that they have a space to kind of call their own and friends that they can make that will last a lifetime.
Yeah, and I do know that, you know, often when people talking about support for the military, I think what comes to mind, especially maybe for families that are non-military, or are those that are actually serving in the military, you know, as enlisted and officers. But yeah, you know, the family often is kind of a either just not ever thought of or kind of a second thought. Would you agree?
I would, and I would say this. I remember on my deployment, I deployed a couple times as an Army chaplain, and it was a couple of people who really poured into my kid's life that made the world of difference to me. Because even though I was half a world away, and my kids were going through some pretty tough times, having those people that they could rely on, having those mentors that were ensuring that my family was taken care of, was the most meaningful thing that was done for me during my deployment. And so, I mean, this is not something that is just it's theoretical for me. This is something that my kids know firsthand, the power of those relationships.
Yeah. Nick, I mean, as you mentioned, some kids, they deal with anxiety and other issues with traveling. And I don't know how much has changed. I know when I was growing up, it's, you know, about every 3 or 4 years, we were packing up and moving somewhere else. And I will tell you, I mean, I guess I don't know if I was just well-adjusted or maybe too thick to understand how crazy life was that we were going. It was an adventure to me, and yeah. And I will tell you, looking back, I saw it as a great way to grow up, but I do love that Youth for Christ Military makes themselves available. Now, for those that would, you know, maybe hear this and think, you know, we need to reach out. We right here in New Mexico, we have 3 Air Force bases, those that may be listening, here at Kirtland Air Force Base, now our other and actually Cannon Air Force Base, we broadcast to currently at low power. We're doing some repairs, but that are listening and would think, I need to connect with Youth for Christ Military and outreach to the youth. Is there for sure going to be a group there locally, and if not, is there other ways that they can connect with resources for Youth for Christ?
Yeah. So as much as I would love to say that we would be, we can be everywhere, reality is our resources are limited. And so we are definitely in as many places as we can right now. But there'd be 4 ways if they're interested in kind of getting there. The first biggest one would just be to pray. Pray for military kids. They can even get our prayer emails at our website, yfcmilitary.org. If they want to underwrite a relationship between a leader and a youth, they can go on our website to give. Third would be to advocate. And, these military kids, they often go unseen because you're right that, you know, you're moving around a lot. You can fly really under the radar. But having people advocate on their behalf is such an important need. So if they feel like, hey, I would love to see something start in my local community, to advocate for that would be a huge help. And last is to volunteer. So we have mentor roles with young people. If they have a heart and a soul for this mission, we would love to join them in. And again, that can all be accessed on our website, yfcmilitary.org.
All right. And actually, I logged on to the website. I encourage you to do that. And there are, locations that you can look at. There's ways to give to the ministry or join the work that's going on, resources, stories, and more at yfcmilitary.org. And Nick, I appreciate the time that you've taken, and I want to throw it back to you. As we consider our veterans today, actually, being Veterans Day. And I don't know how well you were prepared to answer this. I'm going to bushwhack you a little bit because I'm not prepared to give a real historical answer. But even the history of Veterans Day, starting 11/11, back to the end of World War One, or the Great War, it was called at the time, was established originally as Armistice Day. And if you don't know more than I do, that's about the extent of my knowledge. You're welcome to, yeah, me too. And we'll just leave it to all of us to spend some time on our search to find out more about the history.
Yeah, so you're 100% right. Armistice Day was the initial thing. Just like our Memorial Day, it really started over in Europe. But the very first Armistice Day was President Wilson, who gave kind of the initial address to remember and reflect on the service that so many have given. It has been something for us that's been a part of our heritage since World War One. And it's a great opportunity for us just to pause and reflect on the service that others have given, even the full measure of service that they have sacrificed so much on our behalf to have the freedoms and privileges of Americans. And so this is something that started back in right after the war, really coming out of Europe and into today. And now the historical thing to do is to at 12:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or wherever you might find yourself, to do a 2 minutes of silence. It's a great time to remember the sacrifice of so many veterans who've stood in my stead on the battle line.
Well, Nick Kamok's been our guest. He's the executive director of Youth for Christ Military. A reminder, the website is yfcmilitary.org. And, as our audience hopefully is praying for our nation's military and for YFC Military and Youth for Christ in general, Nick, God is a God of specificity when it comes to our prayers. Although, we can pray those general prayers, but is there anything specific you'd want to throw out to the listener as far as what the work you're doing with YFC and the needs that you have for prayer?
Yeah, I just ask them to pray for these families. It's been a hard season, a lot of upheaval, a lot of uncertainty. And that has really, as we've been working with families all over the globe, that's been a refrain that has been felt kind of everywhere. So just pray for God's peace. Pray for all of those who serve, obviously our service members, but also their families, as they have to walk on this path as well. But just pray for God's comfort, God's presence. Their lives would be amazing.
Very good. Well, Nick Kamok, I appreciate the time you've taken. Look forward to having you back on again.
I'd love it. Thank you so much.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.